All right, good evening, Avice. I welcome back to all the guests from their vacation. And Mazel Tov to all the Bali Simcha and all the Simchas coming up. Mm-hmm. Yes, and now we're on 29B. I want to review a little bit about the Yesodos. The Yesodos of what we've been learning, just to make sure it's clear here. Because this is like, you know, Pashup Shot, just to understand Pashup Shot over here. And it's explained in the Yad Avram, and I read it yesterday, and I read it again today. It's so important that I'm taking a break a little bit before I start the daf, because I want to make sure this part is clear. Now, let me just find it here. Yeah. This is going back on yesterday, okay? Right. Yesterday we talked about a furrow of greens being planted in another field of greens. So up until now we've been saying that you need to separate between two fields of yirakot, six tefachim, right? We're not having a field, you're having a single row a single row of a species right through the field. So the following is, so this is what he says like this. The point of the Mishnah here is, for a configuration such as a row, the 6 hand breadth spacing of the Mishnah on Parak Beis, Mishnah Yud alone, is not sufficient to separate it from a field. In addition to the spacing, the planted area itself must satisfy certain length and width requirements. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the requirement is the row has to be 6 hand breadths wide and stretch one end of the field to the other. Okay, so that's yesod number one. That even though normally just six hand shisha tefachim would be enough to separate one field from another, over here we have a row of vegetables, which is 6 tefachim wide. And then you have spacing between that one row and the surrounding vegetables, which is also 6 tefachim on each side. And additionally, it has to go from one end of the field to the other end of the field. So you have it's like additional requirements to that of the field. Okay? So that's number one I wanted to mention to you.
Which makes sense because it's in the middle of the field rather than the edge of it.
The main reason for it is because it's a single row. That's the main thing. Because it's a single row, it does not have the chashivas of a field, and you have to have some sort of a hecker to make it so it has a chashivas, so it shouldn't look like it's part of the larger field. The only way you can do that is if you have a certain amount planted. Okay. Now, so the furrow, let me just make sure this is clear. According to this Mahalach, furrow is referring to the planted part. Now, the Rambam says the furrow is not referring to the planted part. The furrow is referring to the gap between the planted part and the rest of the field. Okay? So, in his view, The shisha tefachim that we required in Parak Beis, that's only between fields. But between a row and a field, between a row in the middle of a field like we're talking about here, even a furrow is good enough to be a separation. How big is that furrow? It has to be at least a tefach deep. And therefore, a tefach wide, if it's two tefachim deep, it has to be two tefachim wide. The width of it is as long as, or is as deep as it, okay? So, when Rabbi Shmuel said that it has to extend, me rosh ha-soda ad rosho, it does not mean go to the end of the field. It means to the end of the row of greens, okay? So, in other words, the row, as long as that row is, that even if the row reaches the middle of the field, that's how long the furrows have to reach. So this would be the picture I don't know if it's in here. It might be in here also. But anyway, diagram B here. So you can see it, diagram B. Yes. Now, one other thing we want to say over here. That's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says a length of 6 hand breaths and a width equal to its fullness. So what that means is as following. The full width of the standard furrow, that'll be the Rav based on Rash and Reb and Melchizedek. So equal to its fullness will be the Shisha Tvachim width. The Rambam understands to mean its depth. The width of the furrow must equal its depth. All right? So, according to Reb and Melchizedek, in order for a planted row to stand out inside a big field, it must span the field, in Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, but according to Makiva's opinion, it's enough for the row to have sides at least shisha tefachim. So you have a planted row, 6 by 6 hand breaths. So 6 by 6 is enough. So you have basically, you have like a ches of 6 tefachim wide blank area with the species B in the middle. All right. Okay. So just leave it. We'll just leave it like that for now. So that's the Yesodus that we have so far. So now we're going to talk about the bottom of Chav Tes Amud Beis. Those of you just joined us, we haven't really started. We were just kind of like going over the Yesodus of yesterday. So Shmuel says Leishon Veloshua Achas. So when we talk about planting a row inside another field of Yerukos, that's talking about where you're planting one row of vegetables, Hashtayim, but if it would be two rows, then it would be Aser. 16, he says, why? It causes the species to appear mingled. It's interesting that planting one row, it looks, seems separate, but planting two rows, it seems mingled. With the outside.
Two rows should be better.
That's what you would think. That's what it says here. Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Shimon Lakish, we're on Daf Laman now. Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Chavein Ami Loishan Yehi. How do you read this? Loishan Yeh, there's no difference. He Achas Hishtaim, I guess that's the way you read it. Loishan Yeh, there's no difference. He Achas. It's the same one row, it's the same two rows, no difference. Okay, that's just a machlokes about that. Shmuel holds two is no good, Yerkin and Rish Lakish hold two is okay. The Gemara now goes on. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva require a 6 tefach gap, right? We discussed that. The question was only whether it goes the full length of the field, according to Rabbi Shmuel, or the full length of the row, according to the Rambam within Rabbi Shmuel, or according to Rabbi Akiva, only as far as
6
tefachim is necessary. And beyond that, you can keep it going longer. That's correct.
And it could be surrounded by 3.
And it could be surrounded on 3 sides. Yeah. Correct. Rishonim Lakish Omar, Mutul Hav Kia Arba Shuras Bavikal. Now, so what we have here is you have a valley. I guess there's grain planted in the valley. And what you're going to do is you're going to clear an area for 4 rows of Yerukos. And you're going to, I guess you'll have a separation of 6 tefachim on each side, right? So you can have 4 rows of Yerukos with 6 tefachim on each side, but more than 4 rows. What do we say? Remember when we said the Chachamim was that if you have grain and vegetables, what's the difference? What's the distance between the two? You have to go lechumra. We said it's a base roiva, right? So here we're saying no. As long as it's 4 rows and no more, so you're within a. It's not considered a field, so you could do shisha tefachim, and that'll be adequate, even though it's a grain surrounding it, right? That's what it says over here. Mutar lavkia arba shuros bebika. That's what he says. More than four rows, however, constitute a field, and with us need to have 10.5 amos. Okay? On Rabbi Yechon, Mubachu, Shnei Shuros, Hachitzonos, Nidonos, Karuga. That's provided that the outside rows that are closest to what? To the grains on the outside, right? They have to be like a garden patch. It means there's the 6 tefachim wide. So you have 4 rows in the middle. 2 rows on the outside are going to be 6 tefachim wide. And also the 3 of the 6 tefachim of the outside rows has to be planted. Can't be. You can't have less than 3 of the 6 tefachim planted. They can't, like for instance, have just a thin line of 1 tefach planted. So the outside row has also a requirement. So that's what these are all kinds of requirements here. So it says over here, brackets in the fourth, in number 4, he says if the outer rows are 6 tefachim wide, then the middle rows could be narrower and they'll still appear to be distinct. This is an interesting, I guess, visual. This is a visual thing. So if you see a square with 4 wide lines on the outside and 2 thin lines on the inside, your eyes play a trick on you and you look at the inside rows also as if they're as wide as the outside rows. That's a visual, what's it called? Optical illusion, right? It's an optical illusion. So that's basically the, I don't have any other shot over here. I'm making it very balabatish here, that this is an optical illusion, that when you have 6 tefachim wide on the outside, right? And it also has to be planted in order for it to create this illusion. Okay. Next, Rabbi Yehuda and Mareicha. What does he say? That he says that the width of the furrow has to be 1 tefach, right? The other sheet just said either 1.5 tefachim or 6 tefachim, depending upon what we were talking about. But certainly not just a tefach. So the Gemara is going to first quote the reason. Amar Huna, Hishkisa Barak Hogan HaYorak, Kama Shira Shal Parsa, tefach. In other words, you're going to water it on foot like a garden of Yorako, so that it's the width of a foot, the sole. Over here it's the width of a foot, not the length of a foot. The width of your sole of your foot is apparently a tefach. I don't know, I didn't mention Shabbos, he knows better than I do. The width of an average foot, is that 4 inches? What? It's reasonable? Yeah. So, Kamo Shira Shal.
You could walk in that very carefully, I guess, in between the plants, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess so. So, that's a tough one. Okay. Now, if, however, let's just read the however here. You always have to read the however. If the gap watering is smaller than that, so that it cannot be watered independently by foot, it does not appear distinct, but looks mingled. That's what it says over here. All right. There apparently are other pshatim over here. See footnote 9 if you're interested. As explained, based on the verse, Rabbi Huda maintains 1 tefach separation is necessary between different species of yirokos. The Gemara says, Tninon hochad Rabbi Huda. Here we learned the opinion of Rabbi Huda, that is to say a gap of 1 tefach is necessary. And Rabbi Kiva requires it for the separation to be of equal its fullness, which we explained before, was perhaps 6 tefach and perhaps, it depends how you learn the tefach, right? Utanina tamon, we similarly learned in an earlier chapter, remember, when you had 5 species in a 6x6 plot of land, Tanakama said you could put 5 species in it, and Rabbi Huda said you could put 6 species in it. Remember, Machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Huda. So the Gemara is now going to compare, or actually the Gemara is actually going to make this into a question. Why is it necessary to have these shitas arguing in both places? It would seem evident. The Gemara is going to make this kind of a question, right? If you would allow 6 species, because he only requires a tefach between the species, so therefore he gets 6 species into the 6x6. Whereas the Chachamim require Tanakama hold, you need a tefach and a half, so therefore you can only get five into that patch. So since the Mishnayos, the Machlaikas and the Mishnayos are dependent on the separation necessary, why does the Mishnah record the Machlaikas twice? Once it's recorded in one instance, it should have been sufficient. Okay. The Gemara answers. So that was all that was inherent in the words Usninan Tamon. It's just, to me, it's just amazing how they were able to figure out this question from two words. Okay, now the Gemara is going to answer. Ilu tnisa hocha vlo tnisan tamon. Again, what are the two Mishnayas? Hocha is the Mishnah of what? The Mishnah of the one row through the vegetable field, and Tamon is the Mishnah with the 6x6 tefach patch allowing for six plants. Those are the two Mishnayos. So if we were to learn Rabbi Yehuda's opinion here in our Mishnah, and we would have learned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion there, but not have said the Chachamim's opinion there. Okay, so it's like a lot of speaking out here. So in other words, if you would have had only Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Mishnah saying six species, and the Chachamim over here, and not over there, Havei Amrinan, I would have said, Ma in Rabbi Yehuda who machmer hocha, if even Rabbi Yehuda who's machmer over here in our Mishnah, meaning he requires the row to be a tefach wide. So in other words, this is a little difficult, right? What do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda's machmir? Yeah, so let's just leave that on the side for a second. Let's first read what the Gemara is going to say. Manach Rabbi Yehuda here is machmir, requires a tefach. Mekel tamon, he's lenient there, that meaning he's mekel to allow six species as opposed to five. So Rabbanon, the Elain, Mekilin Hachav, the rabbis, that's to say Rabbi Shon, Rabbi Kiva, who are lenient here in our Mishnah, allowing it to be less than a tefach, right? Surprise. The Gemara is now assuming that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva allow a width separating less than a tefach. We'll deal with that in a second. Lo kosha ken yakilin tamon. Surely there'll be mekel over there and allow six species, right? If over here against Rabbi Yehuda, they're mekel, so kosha ken over there, they're also, or similarly, there'll be mekel over there as well. Well, kosher can, right? If Rabbi Yehuda is machmer here, and he's mekel over there, so there'll be given Rabbi Shmuel or mekel here, surely will be mekel over there. That's the basic outline of it. So, Mimela, what would you say? That they would also hold you can have six species over there in the 6x6 tefach. So the Gemara says, have a trucha masi tamon. So that's why you needed to explicitly have a Mishnah in the 6x6 patch telling me that they do not agree with Rabbi Yehuda, but rather they only allow five. Correct. Oh, now we're going to go the other way. If you would have said the rabbi's opinion and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the earlier Mishnah, you would have had five and six argument over there in the patch and not have learned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion here in our Mishnah with the faro, right? Hava Amrinon, we would have said what? We would have said the following logic. Mine Rabbanadina Machmarin Tamon, even the rabbis who were strict over there, limiting the amount in the patch to only five, Inun Makilin Hocha, and then Makel over here, that they allow a division between the furrow and the outside less than a tefach. So Rabbi Huda who make a tamon, Rabbi Huda holds that you can even have six in that patch. So Lo Kosha came the Echel Hocha, surely he would be Makel over here and allow less than a tefach as a divider between the furrow and the outside. So, Havatricha Masi Hocha, Havatricha Masi Hocha. So that's why you have to have the Mishnahs in both. We have to have the Machlokas stated in both places. To tell us Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, tell us the Rabbanan's Shita. Now we have to go back and deal with that one problem. The whole time I've been telling you that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva were holding that you had to have six tefachim. Now all of a sudden,
less than a tefach.
What happened? Right? So this is very difficult. So in footnote 17, he deals at length with this problem. Gemara here perceives that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are a more lenient position than Rabbi Yehuda. But we presented when dispute, so we said according to the Rosh, it means the width of the furrow separating between the species must be 6x6. According to Rambam, it meant that it was as wide as it was deep. So the Gemara here considers Rabbi Huda's view more stringent than the two. That's counters to the Rosh, because Rabbi Akiva requires 6. That's clearly more strict. And according to Rambam, however, there is a case where Rabbi Huda is more strict, because Rambam said that the width has to be like the depth. So if the depth was half a tefach, then the width could be half a tefach. In that one case, Rabbi Huda is more makel. Very difficult.
How does that refer to our case?
That's right. It's very difficult, Gemara.
Special circumstance. Yeah.
The other thing is, it emerges, and this is really the bigger Kiddush, that according to the Rambam, a furrow that is less than a tefach deep can serve as a separator. That's a pella. Anyway, this is all very difficult. So, these are the kashas. Okay, I don't have an answer. This is just be aware of this question, and we'll go back to it. Now we're on Lamed Aleph Beis, next Mishnah. Hanotein shtei shuras shel kishron, shtei shuras shel tshiluin, shtei shuras shel pola mitzri is mutter. If you're going ahead, let's see here. These are, as you recall, these were the ones, chait melons, gourds, Egyptian beans. So these were the ones that spread out a lot, right? So it says over here, so as long as you have two rows of each, right? It's 2, 2, and 2, so that's mutter. But if you have 1, 1, and 1, shura shel kishon, shura shel dilon, shura shel pol mitzri, usser, then that's usser. One row is usser. Now, what does it mean? One row is usser. So on the bottom it says the middle row of gourds is usser. Okay, because you have the chait melons on one side, you have the Egyptian beans on the other side, and so the middle row of gourds is going to be usser. Such flanking, the Egyptian beans and chait melons are flanking the gourds. Such flanking is the potential to prohibit the gourds because it's considered chavush, closed in by the chait melons and Egyptian beans on either side. Okay, if there are two rows, if there's
a specific amount of space that we're talking about that there is or isn't.
Hold on a second. I'm not 100% sure right now. Let's read this note a little bit. So in the Mishnah's first case where you have two rows, right? And the two rows, all of a sudden he's going to add here in the footnote. It's a surprise, but it's very important. But the two rows of gourds together make an area 8 amos wide. Now, where he got that from, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how he knows the 8 amos stuff. So, because...
Why don't you say it's 6 in the middle and 2 in the one arm on each side?
Where do we say 6 amos? Where did that come from? One second. I know I skipped footnote one, you know. I should have read footnote one. It says, as will be apparent from the Gemara, the width of a single row is 4 amos. I didn't realize that. So the width of two rows planted side by side is 8 amos. You know what? I missed that basic fact. I couldn't understand where this is coming from. I haven't learned the Gemara yet because that's the next page. So I guess I'll just accept it for now. So we're assuming now that one row is 4 amos, two rows are 8 amos. So you're right, Svi. Therefore, the fact that the reason for the heter of the two rows is because since two rows of the gourds is 8 amos wide, therefore it has a certain kashivas that it would not be considered overwhelmed by the surrounding Egyptian bean and melon. Okay? In the second case, the single row of gourds is only 4 amos wide. So then it's closed in by the vegetables that flank it, and that's prohibited. Okay. Of course, these examples are dafka, right? If it would be other vegetables, it would be no problem. Okay? So let's go. Let's move on. Let's move on. Yeah. Next thing is what? Next thing. Shura shel kishuin. Let's suppose you have one row of trait melons. Shura shel didun, a row of gourds. Shura shel polymetri, row of Egyptian beans. Shura shel kishuin, and another row of trait melons. So you have two outside rows, right? Two outside rows of kishuin, of the melt, of the trait melons. And you have the diluin and the polymetri in the middle. So Rabbi Eliezer mater, and Chachamim Oisim. Why is he mater it?
The
Gemara will say.
Yeah. That's what it says.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, Lamed Bet. Lamed Bet. The Gemara will explain.
Where does it say that?
The Hebrew.
Works for us.
And the Hebrew.
Is that the way you want? Is that the way you want to leave it?
The Kama Lamed Bet Amud Aleph.
Let's just take a look at Mara Folder for a second in the Hebrew. He says, Rabbi Eliezer Mater, the Sfira Lei, Hoyol V'yeshkan Beis Shuros, Kishuin, Dainina Lahu Kisada Kishuin. He holds that since you have two rows of melon, so therefore it has a halacha like a Sada Shel Kishuin, even though the two rows are separate. As long as you've got two rows of the same kind in the same patch, it gives it a halacha like a Sada. V'yeshkan Shtei Shuros, Shebein Taim, Mefarshu Gemara. So we'll understand that later. Okay.
Specific. That's specific.
I don't know. We ended up with it.
Lamed Beis Amud Aleph.
Okay.
Specific for
Kishuin? Because it's spread. I don't know. I'm not sure. So, in number four, let's see. So, number four here.
Keep on reading. Chachamim Osurim.
Chachamim Osurim. She'ein Shtei Shuros Shel Kishuin. Smuchas Nozo. They hold that if they're not next to each other, so they're having a fundamental machlokes. One holds that they're separate, it's still sada. The other ones hold, no, they have to be together to be considered sada. I don't know what the difference is, whether it's sada or not sada. Not sure what the difference is. Anyway. You can plant a chait melon and a gourd in the same hole. Each one has to be facing a different direction. So here, you have to understand, we're not talking about putting in seeds in the hole. Seeds in the hole will be osur. It has to be that you have a whole plant, and the plant is such, is large enough, that you can, at the time of the planting, actually have them both facing different directions out of the hole. That's explained by the Chazon Ish. Okay? Zunot l'tzadzu, zunot l'tzadzu. And the next line, they say, was added by somebody, and it really doesn't belong in the Mishnah, because it's just a repetition of what we just said. They say a Talmud added this to the Mishnah, but it really has no shot in the Mishnah. And in fact, if you go into ancient scripts and manuscripts of Mishnayos, it doesn't exist. Anyway, so we'll just skip it. Shekein Masha, also Chachamim, Lagazu Element, Ne Marasa Ayin. What was the whole reason why it's also because Marasa Ayin, so therefore the fact that they're facing different directions. So, putting it out that way will take care of it. He has a whole thing here in footnote 8. We talked about this once before, but this is the way we'll end the show today, is with this famous discussion. That is to say, min ha-Torah, the only way to be over on the Issa D'Oraisa of Klai's Royim, if it's for my poilasiyah, that means I take two seeds in my hand and I throw them down together, right? So our Mishnah is talking about a case where there was one species already in the hole growing, and now I'm planting another plant in the hole, in the same hole. So that is normally osur midrabbanan. Midrabbanan, like we just said, it's not going to be osur because it's not from a polis yad, right? So normally that would be forbidden because it looks like people will think they were planted simultaneously. It's like a marasayan type thing. But when you're directing the plants in opposite directions, then it's mutter. Okay. That assumption isn't necessarily the case, and so on. Okay, there's a whole thing over here. So that's it for now. Okay, I got Yitz Hashem. We'll start 31 tomorrow. Yeah, we'll start tomorrow, 30B tomorrow.